Blog Talk Radio.
So you don't have to worry about that.
Ain't no violence on my show, buddy. But you know, bear in mind, you know, looks like this show's gonna be flopping, you know, might be, you know, maybe 4 PM or 9 PM, the 6 PM slot. If I get an opportunity, I might do that. But it seems like, until further notice, it looks like it might be 4 or 9 p.m. But, I'll definitely, you know, keep you guys posted, with these changes. So bear in mind. I want to thank you all for listening to the show. As usual, we lead off with baseball and basketball and all the other, you know, sports we talk about. But before we do that, we're gonna, you know, kick it off with the, you know, talk about the Chile minor saga, and then we're gonna talk a little baseball with you know, with the postseason, the Rangers tying the Yankees yesterday.
Yep.
By the score of 7-2. Then we'll talk about the NLCS with the Giants winning game 1, 4-3 to the Phillies. And also we'll talk about Gridiron as, you know, Giants are leading right now in the third, 21-10 against the Lions. And also we'll also...
My G-Man.
Yep. G-Man doing their thing.
It might be. It's actually looking like it's gonna be New York Super Bowl this year, probably.
Yeah, might be. I'd love to see that.
A Turnpike Super Bowl.
Yep, Meadowlands Super Bowl.
Yeah. Hopefully,
yeah.
My team gets a win versus your team again.
Reference, of course, to the 2000 World Series when your Yankees, beat the Mets.
Of course.
So,
and you keep dreaming about another World Series between the Mets and Yankees, with the Mets this time sweeping the Yankees, which will probably never happen again, you know.
Hey, as long as I beat you guys, whether it's in 4 or 7, as long as I beat you guys, you know.
We shall see, Mon Frere.
We shall see.
Yeah.
Mon ami. But, and of course, yeah, you know, we'll give a little preview to the Jets-Bronco series, matchup that's going to start as soon as this show is over at 4 o'clock. And we'll talk a little NBA as the NBA season is drawing near and Knicks are, you know, playing in preseason, you know, trying to get ready for for the regular season.
Yeah.
And as usual, you know, at the end of the show, we'll, talk a little sports entertainment with a little WWE. A little TNA, and, you know, leave the lines open for the callers in case if they want to, you know, talk about sports, entertainment, or anything that's on their mind, you know, they
yeah.
know the number. But switching gears a little bit, I guess we're going to, you know, discuss a little bit about the, you know, about the Chile, the big story of the week. For the last 68 days, the Chilean miners, they all miraculously survived being trapped, underground for 68 days.
Yeah, and we don't know what the hell they were doing under there for 69 days.
Well,
but
thank God they're all right. You know.
Yeah.
It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse. I mean, 69 days in a hole without seeing your family and without taking a bath and not having any food to eat. I mean, tough.
Yeah. And one of the people that was on the miner, he was like a guy on the Chilean soccer team like in the 80s, I believe.
Yeah.
And you know, it was a very touching story, you know, seeing, you know, all the people getting pulled out and, you know, they're hugging with the family and, you know, the Chilean people and the people, you know, the fellow miners, you know, they're singing songs like, oi, 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 all these Chilean songs, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're showing, you know, solidarity, you know, among their, you know, their countrymen.
Yeah.
It was a nice thing to see, you know. All the people who helped out the Chilean miners, get out of that that hole, and even though that was, overall it was a touching story, there's a little bit of a controversy because one of the Chilean miners, he had a mistress, you know, and a wife, and obviously, you know, the wife was, you know, a little, you know, embarrassed about the whole situation. So she didn't bother showing up when he got pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
And when
yep.
the guy got, you know, came out of the hole, he was surprised that only his mistress, the only one who greeted him. It was a soap opera type story.
Yeah, man. So that wife who didn't show up, I mean, is she still going to be with the guy or what?
I have no idea. That remains to be seen. I mean, I mean, you can understand why she's embarrassed, you know. It would be an awkward scene, you know, if both of them were there and, you know, you see which one it'd be like Jerry Springer when you think about it. See who, you know, like when the guy comes out, you see the wife and the mistress arguing over, you know, who, you know, that's their man. And then after the guy comes out and then you see which one he embraces first or which one he, you know, he kisses or which
the guy is a borderline pimp.
Well,
or polygamous, pimp or polygamous.
That's basically what he is, except it's not, you know, he's not a legalized polygamous. I mean, he didn't legally marry the both of them.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, I mean, he's pretty much living the polygamous lifestyle. You know, he has his wife, and I don't know how many kids they have, and he has this other lady on the side.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well. You know, right, I mean, rightfully so for the wife. I mean, that would have been a real, you know, sticky situation. I mean, for her to be there and, you know, next to the mistress, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
The mistress should have just known you better to, like, not to show up. But then again, she had respect for their relationship. I mean, she wouldn't have been in the situation to begin with, but then again, you know. The guy is also, you know, equally to blame, if not more so. That is, he's the one that's married, so.
Right, yep. But, yeah, like you said, man, it's a good thing that they were finally rescued. I mean, if they had stayed under there for any more days, I mean, some of them probably would have, you know, passed away or gotten sick or.
Yeah, I mean, it's a miracle. It's a miracle that all these guys survived.
Yeah, man. You know, they're like the Yankees. They're resilient. They never give up.
Well, thank God they're all alive. But
yeah,
let's switch gears to the Yankees. Yankees, like you were mentioning, their resiliency. Friday night, they were leading. They were trailing 5-0, and I was at work, and I saw when Hamilton hit the 3-run home run, and you know. I was surprised it happened, but, you know, I saw some Yankee fans, you know, they were a little surprised that the team was down, but I was like, nah, I'm pretty sure the Yankees are going to come back.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have it that night, you know.
Yeah, he only went 4 innings.
Yeah.
And whatchamacallit, when it went to 5-1, then I was like, you know, I have a feeling Yankees are going to come back, but. Maybe Rangers might, you know, hold on to it. But then again, the Rangers, you know, power Rangers. And they, like a wise man said, I believe that was you. You said the Rangers in the 8th inning, you know, look like putties. to the Power Rangers, foot soldier enemies they fought on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you texted me that after the, you know. You know, after the, the game was over.
Yeah, but, their bullpen just collapsed.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rangers don't have a very good bullpen, you know.
Nah, they don't. And most of those guys who collapsed, Darren O'Day, I think he pitched maybe a game, literally a game as a Met.
Yeah.
And then he got traded away, I think, to Texas. And then Darren Oliver, who was on the 06 team.
He had a good year that year, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he was great. He came out of the bullpen, and he was a long reliever. He was terrific.
Why didn't you guys keep him?
Yeah, I think he wanted more money or something. He wanted, I don't know, a 2 or 3 year deal, and Mets didn't want to give him and Chad Bradford, who was the submarine guy, you know, out of the pen. And Manaya's thinking is that, hey, you know, bullpens, they're up and down. 1 year they're great, the next year they're not great. I mean, barring, you know, the closers, well, most closers, well, a few closers, especially the one that plays in the Bronx.
You could say his name, Mariano Rivera. You know his name?
Yeah, Mariano Rivera. We all know, we all know Mariano Rivera.
Yeah.
For 42. But, I mean, Mania was right that, you never know. I mean, other than Rivera. I mean, bullpens are usually up and down. One year they're great, the next year they're not.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even from then on, you know, after the season was over and he, you know, in the off season, before the 2007 season started, you know, me and most of the Mets fans were pretty much saying that they should have kept those guys, you know, because those guys were, the bullpen was the strength of the Mets, was the strength of the Mets pitching,
yeah,
that year. But Mania rolled the dice and thought, he could get guys, for cheaper money to do the same thing. And as you can see, this year he got fired.
Yeah.
So that decision pretty much led to his downfall.
Yeah.
Among other teams, with this team collapsing in 07, 08, and these last two years, them, just being horrible.
Yeah, I mean, the Mets still don't know who they're going to hire as a manager or general manager.
Yep.
Eric Wedge was just signed to the Mariners as a manager.
Yeah,
Yeah. The Mets have a lot of decisions to make in this offseason.
Oh, yeah. But the most important decision that they're going to make this decade is who's going to be their GM. Will it be Sandy Alderson, the former GM of the A's? Of the 80s and early 90s. You know, the Bash Brothers with McGuire and Canseco, those dudes.
Yep.
And then he managed the Padre team. He was the GM of the Padre team that would later face the Yankees in 98 and, of course, get swept by the Yankees.
Yep.
And then ever since then, he's been working under the GM. I mean, under Selig, the commissioner of baseball. And he's done by all reports, done a pretty good job, fixing, the problem in Dominican Republic, with the players taking performance-enhancing drugs and, falsifying their documents so they could be younger.
Yeah.
And Pasili, he recommends, Mets hire him, hire Alderson, because,
yeah.
Because of the guy's, resume and.
I still think.
Well,
you could go on. No, sorry about that.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I still think Mets should hire Dottori as either general manager or manager of the team.
Definitely not general manager.
Why?
He has no track record as a general manager.
So, I mean, he could make that transition. I mean,
how do we know that? Let's need a guy.
There's managers that have gone to be general managers. I mean, come on.
Like who?
I can't name any, but I mean, you see it in other sports where coaches go on to become general managers of a team, like Pat Riley.
Parcells would be. Well, yeah, that's
Parcells.
True. Parcells, right.
I mean, come on, it's happened. So,
Dottori, he's a great manager, but he's never been really known to be a strategist. I mean,
that's not true.
I mean, the guy, don't get me wrong, the guy's a Hall of Fame manager. I mean, he has those great players in 96 through his 2001 reign, and I mean, well, actually, he's been. Oh wait, looks like Lion is gonna score a touchdown here.
Yeah, I just heard on the radio. They already scored. So what's the score now?
It's 2016. They're gonna try to kick the extra point.
Oh,
yeah, 87-yard touchdown.
God damn it, Giants! Calvin Johnson scored, right?
I'm gonna check. Number 81.
Yeah, that's Calvin.
You're right, Calvin Johnson.
Son of a bitch.
81.
Giants gonna win this damn game. And I can't see the damn game because of damn Cablevision and News Corp.
Sorry about that, and talk to the out there who can see the game. And the extra point is on the way. Extra point is good. Now I
better get some kind of money, some kind of rebate for not getting Fox.
I doubt they'll do that.
They better. We're paying for this.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean, man. That's what sucks about, you know, business. I mean, you know, those people who make billions and billions of dollars, I mean, they care more about making, you know, billions than, you know, what's going on with, you know, their customers. You know, I mean, they always say that BS line, you know, they put customers, you know, first and all that stuff. But
yeah,
rarely in, you know, even in sports, I mean, you see owners, like, look at the Pirates. I mean, their team hasn't went to the postseason since Barry Bonds has been on the team, like in 93.
Right.
I mean, that's a joke. I mean, that sounds like a joke. Like, they haven't been good since Barry Bonds has been on the team. Like, Barry Bonds was skinny.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, that sounds like a joke. I mean, seriously, man. I mean, that city, I mean, they haven't, that team hasn't won a championship since We Are Family was a hit. That's just a shame. I mean, and
yeah,
they, you know, that was a story franchise also. I mean, you know, they have that, you know, the Bill Mazeroski home run, you know, game 7 of the 60 World Series. Again.
Uh-huh.
What team was that, Macaulay, again?
Who was it again? I can't remember.
Dum-dum.
The Yankees.
The New York Yankees.
The Yankees.
Yeah, recently, just like I think a month ago, they found out the legendary singer Bing Crosby, who was a huge baseball fan. He has the only recording of that Game 7, and now MLB Network is going to release, you know, the game, because they never had the footage of the whole game. They've always had footage of the home run. Was
right.
At that time, the first walk-off home run in the World Series history.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, now recently, in a couple of months, they're gonna MLB Network, they're gonna show the whole game in its entirety.
Yeah.
But yeah, and plus they've won in 70, I think what was it 71 and 72 with the legendary. No, not 70. 71 and 79.
Yeah.
The legendary. Well, they won in 71 with what's his name? Roberto Clemente, and Willie Stargell, the other Hall of Famer, was a member of both championship teams.
Mm.
And that guy killed the Mets. That guy, I think he had like 60 home runs against the Mets in his career. But yeah, I mean, you know, it shows you, you know, what bad management, you know, play, you know, sports, you know, they say they put fans first, but you see these teams and they just pretty much pocket the money. They don't put it back into, you know, the team.
Yeah.
Unlike the late George Steinbrenner, who, I mean, this guy, I mean, he really cared about winning, which is what pretty much fans care about also.
Yeah, Steinbrenner, I mean, he cared about winning. He invested money in the team, and people would, you know, get on him for that.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I mean, it's true. I mean, I got on him on that too. I mean, I couldn't stand the guy when he was, you know, owning the team, but I mean, I respect that. I mean, I respected the way how he went about his business, because if I was an owner, that's the way I would have did it too.
I mean, he didn't do anything legal except for, you know, the 80s when you try to get big dirt on
Dave Winfield.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that he ever did wrong.
Yeah, the guy who he gave the unflattering nickname Mr. May. Or the A-Rods of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. But yes, Sam Merritt was the man.
Yep. Minus A-Rod's, last year, A-Rod's performance in the postseason.
Oh, yeah. A-Rod finally came through last year.
Yep.
This year, he hasn't been, he's been okay also, you know. But
yeah,
the MVP this year has been Robinson Cano.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And Sabathia, I mean, career-wise, he's been a horrible postseason pitcher. I mean, with the exception of last year, his first year as the with the Yankees, I mean.
Yeah.
Before he went to the Yankees, he was like 0-3 with like an 8.40 ERA. But last year he pitched great. He pitched the way he was supposed to as an ace.
Yeah, and you know, the years before that, I mean, he was pitching a lot to get his teams into postseason. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that is commendable. And what was that, 08? Yeah, 08, he threw three straight complete games on like less than 3 days rest. So,
yeah, so.
I mean, it showed you right there the reason why Yankees, you know, gave him all that money, because they knew, you know, he had that in him, being an ace, that for him to will his team, you know, the Brewers, you know, into the postseason, it shows, you know, what type of ace that, you know, that guy, CC Sabathia, is. But
yeah,
Friday he didn't have it.
He looked rusty.
Yankees were able to score 5 runs to get him the no decision. And you know, Mariano, he did his thing and locked down the doors for the 7-6 win. No, 6-5 was it, right?
Ooh, yeah, 6-5 win. Yeah.
6-5 final. And then Saturday, same recipe, you know, the Rangers, Power Rangers, they, you know, went on to a huge lead. And Bill Hughes, he looked like Huggies. Huggies out there. And
he's usually good against Texas, too, but last night he just didn't have it.
Everybody's good against Texas, career-wise, you know, on the Yankees. Yesterday
was their
first career franchise win at home.
Yeah. But, you know, Yankees, all they needed was one game. I mean, it would have been good to get 2 games in Texas, but now the series goes to Yankee Stadium for 3 games, so.
Oh, yeah.
Andy Pettit versus Cliff Lee tomorrow. That's going to be a great matchup.
Oh, yeah. And whatchamacallit, Rangers, they blew the opportunity on Friday. Had they did that, they would have been up 2-0, and they would have had, you know, they would have had an advantage. But
yeah. But
with Yankees, you know, coming back on Friday, I mean, the Rangers pretty much lost that advantage. It's pretty even, you know, Rangers had to do all they had to do yesterday, just to try to even the series so they could at least have some life going into Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
So
I hope the Yankees sweep this 3-game series at home.
Advantage Yankees, I mean, overall, in this 3-game series at Yankee Stadium. But like you said, they do have Cliff Lee on the mound, so.
Yeah.
Countering against Andy Pettit, so it should be a pitcher's duel.
It should be, but you never know.
Yeah, you never know, especially in that ballpark.
Yeah.
And, A-Rod hit the ball that ball would have been a pop-up in City Field, and it just went out. I forgot what game that was. He hit a ball. The Yankees were trailing like, what was it? Was it 1-0 or 2? It was like 1-0, and then he hit a 2-run home run, and they took the lead 2-1. Forgot what game. It was like in the regular season. It wasn't that long ago.
Oh, I don't remember.
He hit it in the porch, and it just went over.
Yeah, there's been a lot of home runs in that ballpark, but this last year's first year, like,
it was ridiculous.
It was crazy, yeah.
Yeah, last year was, like, really ridiculous.
This year, it's calmed down a bit.
Yeah.
Not that many home runs hit out, so they know how to play that ballpark now.
Yeah. The pitching, I mean, other than Cliff Lee, I mean, advantage Yankees. Oh, shoot, I just stepped out for a couple of seconds, and looks like someone's hurt.
Is it a Giant?
No, Detroit Tiger player.
Good. Detroit Lions, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, Detroit Lions, right.
Yeah. Well, good. Hey, the more Lions get injured, the more better chance the Giants have of winning this game.
I mean, come on, don't say that. This guy's seriously hurt. Because it looks like it's seriously hurt. He can't even walk.
Oh, well, hey, I can't see how hurt he is. I don't have I can't see the damn game.
Yeah, I mean.
But I'm just saying, I hope more of them get injured so we can win this damn game.
Well, not seriously injured, I mean.
Well, I'm not wishing death on him. I mean, come on.
That's first and 10. Zach Fallen is the guy who got hurt.
And I don't give a damn about the guy. Do you think if I got injured, do you think he would care? Come on.
And if he's a McCauley fan, maybe he might be.
Oh, please.
If he has a heart, I mean,
right.
Have some sympathy. But, guys doing good so far, you know, 19 for 27, for 176 yards for 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, hopefully you can keep it up. And this is, we're in the fourth quarter right now, right?
Yeah, there's 2:44 and counting in the fourth quarter.
All right, so let's get this game down. And the score is what, 20-17?
21-17.
21-17, okay. Because if we win, we go to 4-2, and you know, we'll be on top of the division. Hopefully Cowboys lose today to the Vikings.
But, let me see. Well, hopefully this guy is not seriously hurt. I look bad, but.
Mm-hmm.
But, I guess, switching gears a bit, I guess you know, we'll talk about the Jets. They're, you know, they've been playing pretty well. You know, since that first game, they recently defeated Brett Favre on Monday night, and it was a nail biter. I mean, Jets almost blew a 12-0 lead they had on Vikings. And in the third quarter, for most of the first half, most of the third quarter, the Vikings couldn't do anything against the Jets.
Yeah.
Then out of nowhere, Brett Favre throws this Hail Mary of a pass to Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Which would be a milestone for Brett Favre, his 500th career touchdown pass. And then it would cut to like, 2018, I think it was. I'm trying to remember the score. I think it was 2018.
I can't remember the score.
22 or 20. I think it was 22-20. It was like a two-point lead. And then Favre threw an interception, which, man, I forgot the guy's name right now. A guy on the Jets, he intercepted it and scored the run, you know, that pretty much sealed the win for the Jets. Final score was 29-20. And the funny thing is, you know, when I got home to watch find out the score, I looked on the, I put on SNY, and it was in a commercial break. So when I got into a commercial break, it showed 29-20 Vikings. So I'm like, oh, man. Because I had a bad feeling, like, because the game, the Vikings kept chipping away. They scored like 3 touchdowns, late into the game. I mean, including the Brett Favre touchdown in the third. And they were getting close, and Jets were pretty much, you know, in the game because they were pretty much kicking field goals. You know, Nick Folk, the kicker, he was 5 for 5. Excuse me, because you know they weren't scoring in the zone, other than kicking.
Yeah.
The red zone, but so I was having a bad feeling about it. So then when I came home, I put on SNY, and then I saw 29-20 Vikings. I'm like, oh, man, they blew it. And then I look on the bottom of the same screen, and then it says 29-20 Jets. So I'm like, what the heck is going on? I'm looking up at the same thing. It says 29-20 Vikings, and then I look down on the same graphic, and it says 29-20 Jets. So I'm like, who the heck won? So then
SNY got it wrong.
SNY had it wrong. They had on the top of the screen on the graphic that Vikings beat the Jets 29-20. And then when I look at the bottom of the crawl, you know, the graphic on the bottom of the screen, it says 29-20 Jets.
Yeah.
So I'm like, which one is the – who won? So then I had to wait until Braylon Edwards getting interviewed for me to, you know, figure out that the Jets won. And I'm like, you know, I exhaled a bit because I was like, man, they blew it.
And Favre, he had a key turnover, just like he always does in the big moment.
Yeah, he threw an interception, threw a ball,
yeah.
Got intercepted by a Jedi. His name escapes me for the moment.
Yeah, I don't know because I really didn't see all of the game. And plus,
and
I guess I was watching Raw also.
The funny thing is, I don't know if you saw it it was on YouTube, but I didn't see it on YouTube. I saw it on a TV show. Like they were showing that when Favre was practicing, he got the ball, he got football hitting his groin. He was like rolling on the floor. And some people were saying that, oh.
This guy has problems, you know, sending inappropriate pictures to employees for the company.
Well, technically she wasn't, I think, part of the organization.
He sent it to two women. He did it with the Jets and with the Vikings, right?
No, I think it was a masseuse. It just both of these stuff happened when he was with the Jets.
Oh, both of them happened with the Jets?
Yeah, one was with the reporter, Jen Sturger. He was hitting on her and, of course, sent her the infamous photo of his bar.
Genitalia.
at the same time during his Jet, you know, tenure, he was hitting on a masseuse.
Yeah.
And some people were saying after the football groin, maybe it was, you know, revenge from the reporter and Sergio, who he sent his, you know, the photo of his, you know, genitalia, as you pointed out.
Yeah, and I don't want to see that picture.
I second that, my friend. And apparently, Jen Sturger didn't want to see it either.
Yeah, because you know, if she really liked it, she wouldn't have said anything. do you think if Brett Favre is kind of old and his penis is probably wrinkly and small? Do you think if someone's penis, like, let's say, I don't know, let me pick a guy, I don't know, Terrell Owens? Do you think she would have said anything?
I don't know, and I don't even want to know.
I'm saying, though. I don't mean to be gay or anything, but I'm just saying, do you think she would have complained or said anything?
You have to ask her. I mean, I don't know. I didn't tell you, man. Let's just say I wouldn't want to know. I wouldn't want to know. You'd have to ask her that. You'd have to interview her yourself on that one.
So, what's the score in the Giants? Still 21-17?
I believe so. I believe it's Giants ball, but I'm.
Damn! There's like 2 minutes left. Is the game still going on?
No. There's more than 2 minutes. There's like 10:38 into the game.
10:38?
Yeah, man.
You said it was like two something left.
No, I was talking about the Jets. I didn't say there was 2 minutes. I said 12.
You said no. You said it was 4 quarter, 2 and something left. I could have sworn you said that.
No, I said 12.
Oh.
It's like 12 minutes. 12 minutes and like 44 seconds left into the game.
Oh, okay.
I never said 2. Unless if I misspoke.
Yeah, I could have sworn you said 2 and something left.
I apologize.
So it's 10 minutes left right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
10 minutes and 17 seconds. And counting.
Damn, Cablevision sucks, man. Can't see the goddamn game.
Giants got the ball. First and 10. Give it to Bradshaw and... Don't really look like he did much.
Mm.
Not even lost some yardage on that. But, oh, he just got a yard. Second and 9:35 in counting.
Oh.
But, switching gears a little bit with the, you know, Knicks play preseason against Celtics. They, you know, they played pretty well, but of course, you know, they lost. I didn't watch the game, but I haven't even watched preseason really. I mean, except for when they went to Paris.
Oh, I did see one of the games against the Celtics, which they lost.
Yeah, what was that, Saturday?
No, not this Saturday. It was like Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, right. Wednesday, right. Wednesday they did play, right. Wednesday they played. And yesterday they played, I think, in Connecticut, but it was supposed to be, I guess, the training place for the Celtics.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but they lost both games. And Shaq gave, you know, the Knicks team praise. He said that, you know, he believes it's, it's a playoff team.
Shaq said that?
Yeah.
Said about the Knicks?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he was saying that, you know, he was thinking about maybe, you know, going to the Knicks. You know, he had talks with D'Antoni, but, you know, he decided, you know, he had a shot, you know, to win the championship and to play with, you know, future Hall of Famers.
Wow.
With Garnett and, you know,
fuck Shaq.
I mean, Shaq wasn't going to do anything anyway.
Yeah. I mean, well, he would bring, you know, his star quality.
Yeah. I wouldn't have a problem with, you know, Shaq being on the team, I mean. But he wasn't really going to do anything, really. I mean, other than provide leadership, but Shaq is over the hill.
Yeah. I like Stoudemire. He looks good in preseason.
Yeah, he has. He has. Timothy Mozgov, I mean, he scored 5 points in that game, but overall in the preseason and in the especially in that World Basketball Cup tournament, the FIBA tournament.
Yeah.
You know, he's played pretty well. He might get the shot at starting at center.
Yeah, but he's a little too thin though. He might get knocked around.
Funny how you mentioned that. Shaq was saying that how, you know, the centers nowadays, you know, they're like European style, you know, they're not the rugged, you know, like rebounding inside, you know,
yeah,
you know, post up type, you know, centers like Patrick Ewan and Robert Parrish and, you know, all those legendary type centers. Shaq was saying that pretty much. You know, all of them are European style, you know, you don't have the Rick Smiths, the Patrick Ewings, Robert Parrish. You don't have those old school type ones. Now all you see is the ones that like to shoot up and stuff like that.
Yeah, shoot from the outside.
Yeah, Shaq was saying that pretty much he killed the centers. There's like only 1.5 or 2 centers in all of NBA.
That is true.
Yeah, other than, you know, Dwight Howard and trying to think of the other guy who was.
Tim Duncan, I guess.
No, Tim Duncan is a power forward, even though he's tall enough to be a center.
He's power forward center. You know, he plays between both positions, but. But yeah, there isn't, you know, in the old days you had guys like Olajuwon, Ewing.
Yeah, even though Ewing, you know, he could, you know, shoot shots from long range.
Yeah, but you know, he posted up, you know. You don't have centers like that anymore.
No, you don't. It's not a center game anymore. It's more of a guard game now.
Yeah. Guys like Kobe, LeBron, Dwayne Wade.
Yep. And speaking of from one future Hall of Famer in Shaq to
another Hall of Famer in me.
Actually, arguably the greatest player in our generation, and most people are, in some people's estimation, the greatest player in NBA history, Michael Jordan. He how people have 15 minutes of fame. I mean, this guy has had a marathon of fame,
mm-hmm.
but he still wants an extra 15 minutes more. Because apparently he's saying that if he played in today's NBA, he would average 100 points.
I heard that he said he could have even averaged 100 points back then.
Well, he probably could have, but he should have then.
Because if he had played more minutes, he probably could have. I mean, this guy would score like 50, 60 points a game.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's great. I mean, we all know how great he is, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. Jordan seems like a player who, you know, he's a player who loves being in the spotlight. I have a feeling like, you know, this guy, you know, even though he had all the accolades, all the, you know, the championships, all the praise, you know, this guy, you know, even though his time, you know, has passed up, you know, being a player, he still wants to be in, you know, he still wants attention.
Yeah, he has a Hitler mustache.
Well, you know, this guy, you know, I mean, Jordan's great, but, you know, most of these guys nowadays, you know, they're egotistical, you know, like Kobe, LeBron, you know, they just want the glory all to themselves.
That's true. You look at a guy like Tim Duncan, who's unselfish and doesn't really like to be in the spotlight that much.
Right. Yeah, Tim Duncan, you know, he just goes about his business.
I mean, yeah, you don't have guys like him in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, he's like an old breed. I mean, he, you know, sure, he looks like a robot, you know, because, you know, pretty much, you know, it's like everything he does is perfect. I mean, he's, you know, he just shoots a ball, and it's like he hardly misses. I mean, the guy's 7 feet tall. I mean, it's like this guy is so fundamentally sound that they nickname him the Big Fundamental.
Yeah, he is like... shoots that infamous bank shot of his off the glass.
He's like the basketball version of Mariano. Well, he just goes about his business and he usually wins.
Yeah.
Doesn't talk trash.
The guy has like 4 championships, so come on.
Yeah. Yep. Here's another guy, like Garnett. I mean, he's a team player. I mean, he's a jerk nowadays. I mean, when he was at the Timberwolves, I mean, he seemed like a classy guy, you know. Sure, always a passionate player.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to the Celtics. I mean, he still, you know, has his, you know, team first mentality. But this guy, I mean, he's morphed into a jerk. But then again, when you're a player, I mean, you don't want the other players on the other team shouldn't like you anyway. I mean, to play to try to win.
Yeah, Kevin Garnett, he looks kind of like Shaka Zulu, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does kind of look like Shaka Zulu.
Has an attitude that Shaka Zulu.
Yeah, you know, he's a warrior, you know. He got that warrior-type mentality.
Yeah. Hey, what happened in the giant game? I hear something happened.
Let me see. It looks like there's a fumble here.
Who's trying to score?
the Lions were about to score, and the guy fumbled the ball. I'm going to check right here to see. I'm trying to see. It looks like Giants have the possession of the ball now.
Yeah.
But there's a challenge, I think. It looks like a Giants ball now.
Oh, touchdown.
Yeah.
Oh, that was almost a touchdown.
Hmm.
Say, like Bradshaw's running for his life, like he's running from the police.
Yeah, I see it now. Now they're finally showing it. Wow, to the 20. To the... Ooh.
Tackled at
so
15.
He's right. About the 15, first and 10.
Yeah, Bradshaw had a flashback of running from the police.
He has a cross with the law or something?
Yeah, he has had some, you know, he has had some trouble with the law, so.
Before he was with the Giants or something I haven't heard about?
Before, I think.
Yeah, because I haven't heard him, since he's been with the Giants, I haven't heard him, like, you know, in any trouble.
Well, all these football players get in trouble with the law.
Oh, Brandon Jacobs. He's like a couple of yards away from the first and goal. And, shifting gears quickly on WWE, you know, they have that Nexus storyline. And pretty much way back, it was punking out John Cena, knowing that he's not going to, you know.
Oh, I think someone just scored a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, they're 20 and 3. They're 3 yards away from the first and goal. And you all right, Brandon Jacobs touchdown.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah, that should put the game on ice here.
How many minutes left?
I think a little less than 4.
All right, 4 minutes. Not 14 minutes.
3:24, to be
okay,
precise.
Three. All right.
27-17 Giants.
Good.
And they're going to, of course, go for the extra point in a couple of seconds.
And by the way, are the Giants playing at Giants Stadium or Detroit's place?
They're in Giants.
Oh, okay.
They're in the Meadowlands. And momentarily, and it is good. Just like in the Bible. And there would be light, and it is.
Put this one in the bag.
Yep. But, shifting gear, Wade Barrett, he pretty much punked out John Cena, you know, saying that, I'm just going to turn my back, and I know you're not going to even touch me. Pathetic. And afterwards, John Cena, it looked like he was having he was constipated. You know, he was like,
he wanted
like,
to beat the crap out of Wade
Barrett. You know, he couldn't, of course, because of, you know, the stupid stipulation that if he hits Wade Barrett, he gets fired.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to find out how this story turns out. This has been the most interesting storyline with John Cena since his feud with JBL. Back in around the WrestleMania 21.
Oh, yeah.
His first championship reign. And he was battling with JBL. And JBL just became the champion. And John Cena was the United States champion. And this is when John Cena finally got himself to that... you know, that championship level with pretty much his prime, you know, with the fans overall, all the fans loved him at that time.
Do you think that John Cena will become the member of Nexus and kick Wayne Barrett out of the group?
I believe that's going to happen. It's similar. It's like they're stealing the storyline from the Nation of Domination. Back to the Nation of Domination. He's like the new member of the Nation, and afterwards, over time, you know, he gets more popular than
Farouk and kicks him out and takes control.
Right,
it's like John Cena's gonna do. That's what's gonna happen to John Cena. But then
you already see the Nexus. They're starting to, you know, go against what Wayne Barrett is saying.
Yeah, especially David Otunga.
Yeah.
And plus, John Cena was more accomplished than The Rock at this time.
Yeah, that's true.
And because John Cena was a 9-time champion, Rock was at that point was. I think he just won the Intercontinental only one time, and then he won it again.
Yep.
As a member of the Nation. So yeah, it looks like they're stealing that storyline, and also the storyline of JBL and Shawn Michaels just 2 years ago, when Shawn Michaels was pretty much a servant of JBL. In a similar stipulation.
Yeah, I want to see how the fans are going to react if John Cena does become a villain.
Well, the people our age, the Attitude Era fans, and previously, before the Attitude Era, you know, they're gonna be excited because this is finally gonna bring excitement to the character.
We'll see.
The little kids and their moms are gonna be the only ones that are like, why is John Cena doing this?
Because I'm not really sure if he will, but I mean.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Because it's still in the elementary stage. You know, he's still, you know, fighting it. You know, trying to. It's like now he's doing what's his name is Wade Barrett's doing it, but he's doing it reluctantly.
Yep.
And he's gonna help out Wade Barrett at the pay-per-view event, Dragon Rights. It's gonna be Wade Barrett. With the assistance of John Cena, you know, his, being his manager or whatever,
mm-hmm.
versus Randy Orton. And, what was I going to say? SmackDown, you know, they had Kane, you know, confront, not Kane, Paul Bearer challenged Undertaker to a Buried Alive match versus Kane.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he predicted that Undertaker would take the challenge because of his pride, which, of course, what good guy ever turns down a challenge from a villain?
Yeah.
And, of course, he did, and he attacked Kane and Undertaker. I don't know if you saw it on SmackDown.
I didn't see that part, no, because some of it.
Undertaker used his power and made Kane's fire fly up, you know, out of the turnbuckle.
Oh.
You know, like Kane's intro. And then afterwards when Kane and Paul Bearer were running away, Paul Bearer had the urn in his hand and Undertaker shot a lightning bolt at Paul Bearer's the urn out of Paul Bearer's hand.
Yeah, I missed that one.
End of the show. And TNA Jeff Hardy, he almost, and his brother Hardy,
yep.
And,
so that could be 60 to 90 days he could be joining, right?
Yeah, because WWE has a contract with Vince McMahon with opposition in 60 to 90 days. I forgot which one of those. I forgot which. For my captain, you're going to stay tuned to listen to me next week. I'll be on at exactly 4 p.m. or 9 p.m. Next week. Thank you for your patience and support. I'll see you guys next week. So, thank you for coming.
Okay.